Okay, so yesterday we started to try to figure out the status of the either Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim and or the Asara Simei Tshuva, which we think actually have different connotations. One of them is rooted in the Gemara Masach de Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, again in defense of a Shita that is not a Liba de Hilchosa Vayigva Hashem Tzivakos Vamishvat V'hakel HaKadosh Nikdash Vitzdaka a Masai. The Gemara wants to know, is this taking place? Vayigva Hashem Tzivakos Vamishvat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elevated in his capacity as the Dayan HaOlam V'cholbay Olam over in Lefanav Kivnei Maron Elu Asara Yamim Shemei Rosh Hashanah V'ad Yom HaKippurim. That is one dynamic. Vayigva Hashem Tzivakos Bamishpat, Kivayachol, that he's even further at a distance from Basar Vadam, and Meidach Gisa, the Gemara in Masech de Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, which plays off the other dimension here. Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo, Kirauhu, Biyoso Karov, Elu Asara Yamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim, that somehow Kadosh Baruch Hu is uniquely accessible, uniquely close during this time. Again, that either he's more transcendent or more imminent is a fascinating dialectic that we began to point out. Then we asked a related question. We'll see how all of these ideas converge into one place with respect to the mitzvah of tshuva. Again, the source of the mitzvah of tshuva is one of the very hotly debated topics of this time of year. We'll get to the Rambam and the Ramban that you all saw in terms of Makaros, but we wanted to know, apropos our line of inquiry about the Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim, is what is a province of this title, Asara Simei Tshuva? So we made an argument based on the Hemsheikh of the Gemara in Masech de Rosh Hashanah that one day in that Gemara, not both days, but one day in that Gemara can be construed as suggesting that these are the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uniquely waiting for us to do tshuva, and with a particular emphasis on the back end. What am I alluding to? Shimi, go ahead. Excellent. So, Hani Asara Yamim Ayavitayhu. Why was it Vayika Asaras Hayamim Vayigov Hashem Es Naval? So the Gemara answers, Elu Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for these days, and he waited until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, he wouldn't wait anymore. And that was the end of Naval. So we proposed three potential models in the halacha, two of which I believe we instantiated clearly yesterday in the Rishonim about what the Asara Simei Tshuva could possibly mean. So one theory is to suggest that these days have some kind of an independent standing. You might refer to them as a kind of a Chol HaMoed of sorts, that just like you have on the one hand, the Shabbason, and the Yom HaShvi, you'd have a Shabbason. And in between, you have the Din of Chol HaMoed, and that creates a Del Raisa status. As we know, the Karban Chagiga is offered. The Rambam suggests, as many Rishonim do, that the Yisr Malacha, even if it's Mesaren HaKasa L'Chachamim, is probably a Din Del Raisa, so that there is an idea that maybe these days have some kind of an independent status. They are the Asara Yamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, like Chol HaMoed, has a certain kind of an intrinsic kedusha without the same degree of kedusha. The Rambam does apply the term Mikra Kodesh in the context of Chol HaMoed. And take a look at Hilchos Yom Tov in Perek Hey. You see that as far as the Rambam goes. So that's one perspective. All the way on the other end of the spectrum, we might suggest that they really have no independent status and that they're only significant insofar as they lead up to Yom HaKippurim. But let's say a person would basically disregard the Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim, and they would do whatever they needed to do on Yom Kippur. So we would say, okay, so they fulfilled the mitzvah kitikuna. That might be the perspective that we affiliated yesterday with which Rishon? The Sefer HaChinuch. Excellent. And then there's a kind of a hybrid perspective, which is to say, Enachanami Yom Kippur is really the story here. Yom Kippur might even have its own separate mitzvah saseh min haTorah of tshuva. Eitan, what am I referring to? Who holds that Yom Kippur has a separate mitzvah to say the Reis of Tshuva? So the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva says that's what the pasuk means. Kiva Yom Azay Yechaper Aleichem Ataras Chamikochat Oseichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru is not a description of what's going to happen on Yom Kippur. But lifnei Hashem titaru means that you must purify yourselves, tshuva shel tahara, as we discussed last year, and Yom HaKippurim. But at the same time, Rabbeinu Yonah, who very much subscribes to the special status of Yom Kippur, so he says these days that are leading up to Yom Kippur, therefore, are literally filled from morning until evening with a very intensive and clear identity. He even seems to me to borrow the model of Agisa Bo Yomam Valayla that we normally reserve for Talmud Torah, and he promotes during this time of year, during this Zman, it's Ki'ilu Tshuva becomes Keneged Kulam, where Tshuva becomes the sole focus, and that you should be Koveya Itim L'Tshuva, right? Bayom Uvalayla. It's a remarkable promotion of these days. Like I said, it goes well, well beyond just kind of a Zihirus and Paspalter, or Slichos, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah, he starts decrying individuals who, you know, are going about their work at the regular pace, and, you know, are they not concerned for their lives, so on and so forth. So I just wanted to show you, because I didn't get to read it inside yesterday, the perspective of the Mechaber and the Ramah in this matter. And this language in the Mechaber that I think is interesting, and then the expansion of the Ramah I think is very interesting as well. Yair, why don't you put it on the record for us? This is for Aleph. I just wanted to get this onto the record. It's Arachayim, Tafresh Gimel. So the Mechaber writes, So this is the din of Paspalter, as we know. So we try to be machmir and Paspalter during this time of the year. Okay, but what's interesting just about the language of the Shulchan Aruch, if you just still reading it without, you could say, okay, so he says a person should be machmir, we're not machmir all year, but during this time of year, you know, maybe we're looking for extra zechuyos, we want to be machmir, Avi?
Sorry.
Yeah, so it's not an option, that's for sure, right? So it's sarich. Lizar, but there's just a little hayara that occurred to me today. Ellie? This is the Shulchan Aruch? Okay, so let's just try to stay on this point, and then we'll come back to you in just a moment after we take a look at the Ramah. It'll be a good time to pause for a question. What's the Shulchan Aruch? What's he appealing to? What? It's a word that's been very important to us this year. Eitan? Well, right, so he uses that expression, not, by the way, the first time, the previous simon he has heresy made tshuva. Also, interestingly, just making a hara, in Tafresh Beis, if you happen to look, in Sif Aleph, he refers to them as the Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. I think in Sif Beis, he calls them the Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah. So pay attention to that shift, even the language of the Mechaber itself. David, what am I talking about?
Nizhar.
Right, Zihiros. So he's talking about these days being days of Zihiros, obviously in a very specific way. Mi She'eno Nizar. Okay, so building off of that, the Ramah says, V'yesh, go ahead, Yair. Right, you know, because you talk about Zihiros, you could be very Zahir about a very local thing. And a person who's really, really careful to buckle their seatbelt every time they get into a car. It's a good idea, right? But you wouldn't describe them as, you know, having a general stance of Zihiros. So the Ramah says, well, you know, it goes beyond Paspalter. Yeah, here, go ahead. V'yesh l'chol adam. Okay, very fascinating thing. So the Ramah says two things that I think of great note. So in terms of the spectrum that we set up, in terms of the three possibilities, does it sound to you like the Ramah is giving any credence to this idea that these days have some intrinsic significance?
Yeah.
Vincent, why do you say that? I agree.
When he specifies, they have B.S.R.C.
Exactly. He doesn't say just because, you know, Yom Kippur is coming. He says that these are days which are set aside for tshuva. Okay, and then he says something really interesting. Which is sort of like a clever idea initially, but then when you start to think about it, it gets to be a much deeper place. Eitan, what's his line? Why? Good. Rani, he brings, right, Kol Tikkun the Ramah, Kein Doraisa. He says that's why the Yasham Taloi, right, is actually more costly than Korban Chatas would normally be, right, that you normally have an Avera. That's an Avera B'shogeg, but nonetheless, you know you did the Avera. So this seems like, okay, it's a beautiful Vart, the Yasham Taloi, the Safik Avera, where you might be Malamed Zchos on yourself. We all have a tendency to do that, but I think the Ramah is saying something very fascinating. I mean, he could have written this in a variety of different places, but he says it right after Yitzarech Lefashve, Shalachapes, Bemasav, etc., etc. Yehuda?
There's a special need for tshuva during these days, and therefore you should be extra careful.
Right, so I think, Enachanami, you're absolutely right, that Lishitasu, he's saying that these are the days which are set aside for tshuva. And then he points out that the quality of tshuva that we're looking for is something which isn't just sort of like designed to absolve you. So like you're worried, okay, there's a punishment, or there's a potential penalty that I'm going to have to pay, so let me try to figure out how I can avoid having to pay that penalty. No. What is the Ramah's, what's the language of the Ramah? What are we trying to achieve during these days, Rami? You're supposed to search, and then, again, that's the first half, and the second half is, it's not really about avoiding the onesh, but the charata, exactly. Berenholtz, is that you?
Yeah.
Well done. So that these are days where a person is supposed to have some inner movement. And so the special halacha of the Safek Avera versus the Vade Avera seems like the paradigm. That's what you hold up during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva for the Ramah, because a person should have charata specifically at this time. This is a time of experiencing a sense of charata. Again, it's not predicated on the idea that, we're so worried about the penalty. The more worried about the penalty you are, the more you're worried you should be about the vadai chatayim, not about the safek, right? The safek, who knows? Maybe you didn't even do an avera. Maybe there's no penalty that's going to come. So he's talking about some inner movement. He's talking about some personal change. Okay, Ellie, I would not have forgotten you. Go ahead. Right, now again, in fairness in the Mechaber, I don't know if the Mechaber is taking out an advertisement that a person should go back, but he says even if a person is generally not cautious about this. But your point is sustained. Okay, so now what I want to try to do is to take a step back for just a moment and to think with you together about this entire construct of days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. It would not appear that we're talking about dinim d'oraisa. It would not appear that way. Again, Rabbeinu Yonah has a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah in terms of lashuv b'yom ha-kippurim, lifnei Hashem titaru. But I'm not sure that we've seen up until this point a din d'oraisa. I'm not sure. So what I want to try to do now is look for maybe a d'oraisa model that could sustain this idea, just like we saw in the Ramah, that these are 10 days of transformation. Actual days of transformation. I'm interested, is there a makor in the world of d'oraisa that we can then apply here? The Asara Yamim should be in Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. You're appreciating how the shiurim that we had in Rosh Hashanah are supposed to build to the shiurim on Yom Kippur. There's all kind of a logic here. Okay, so you know what it is. But let's try to develop the point. Before we do that, let's hear from Noam Berenholtz.
Yeah, I have a question about the Ramah. Because when he says that you need more tshuva, does that mean like more effort? Or does it mean like you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that's what he's talking about. The chapes ulefashvesh b'maasav. So that is the way that I was interpreting it. And that a person who came to a safek avera, like let's say the world of Asham Taloi. So there are two ways of analyzing why the Torah is mechayev in Asham Taloi. Again, the entire thing is a safek. Again, it's true that it's kavua, right? You have chaylev and shuman in front of you, and you don't know which one you had. So the Torah says, generally speaking, and this is a major part of the discussion of safek daraisa lechomra, right? So the Asham Taloi says that even though you were not really sure you did anything wrong, so you should bring a carbon. So how are we going to analyze that? I know this will get right to your point. So Noam, go ahead. Well, what are the two ways of analyzing the Asham Taloi? The Asham Taloi tells you, well, say the simple approach is think through it. We're never entirely sure. Be mechapes and mefashvesh. I'm not letting you off. So what are the two ways to analyze an Asham Taloi? Then we'll tie back to your question. Why do you have to bring the carbon?
I guess either.
Maybe it's the Shuman. Maybe it was Mutter. Why are you bringing carbon? Maybe it's Chulin Lazara.
So I guess either you could say you're hedging your bets.
Good. What do you mean by that? So we say you might have done something wrong. So you know. You know, a safek is rechatas, is worth the price of the Asham Taloi. I'd rather expiate myself. Okay, good. So that's one way to learn it. Or, Aliba the Rama, what you were just trying to suggest, it's not a hedge.
I don't know, I guess maybe the
it's a safek is rechatas, but what is a vadai? Israel? Meaning what? But how does this bring me closer? What was the failure? What failure, Levi? Good, exactly right. How do I allow myself to come up to the precipice of an Isser Kares? That I'm coming up to the edge of an Isser Kares? And I'm not really sure? How can you not be sure if you ate Chelev or Shuman? You're not sure whether you left the child in the car and it's 100 degrees? I can't remember. Maybe the child's in the playground or maybe I left him in the car. How can you not be sure? That's the mechayiv of an Asham Taloi. That's what I think the Rama was saying, Noam. That's the character of these days. So he says, Tzarech mechapes ulefashvesh v'masav, and he holds up the safek avera. How can a person be so lax? Now, many of us have discussed, again, how do we think about shogeg? This is an issue in Parashas Nisavim that we were talking about last week. Leman Svos HaRavos HaTzmeya, right? Where we said, on the one hand, you could talk about shogeg from the perspective of Shigios Miyavin Menistaros Nakeini Hanistaros LaShem Elokeinu, right? That, you know, when nobody's perfect, Ki Adamin Tzadik Varetz Asher Yaseh Tov Lo Yechta. But Meidach, you could say, that when a person is in general misrashel, they're not paying attention, I'm going to do what I want, so then a Kadosh Baruch Hu counts his shgagos as donos, because they reflect a general stance of carelessness, l'man tzvos harava esatzmiyah. Levi, that was outstanding, okay? So that's what I'm saying about the Ramah, that the two halves go together, that these are 10 days where a person, you're not just trying to avoid some kind of a penalty, a person is trying to undergo this transformation. They should feel charata about things that they may not have actually crossed the line and violated, but how do you allow yourself to get to that point? That might be the message of the Asham Taloi Kichlal. Okay, so let's now, again, try to reflect a little bit on the potential de'araisa models for these days being days of transformation. Ilan Goldstein, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Dav Ches. So this is based on the Mishnah, Arba Rosh Hashanim Him. Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovlos, Shmitos. Okay, so Ilan, the Gemara says, Yovlos v'Echad B'Tishrei hu, Yovlos v'Yod B'Tishrei hu. Right, so we spent this whole time talking about how You know, b'chodesh hashvi b'asor l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar. So, you know, the Chazal say, we know the pasuk in Behar also. Yaakov, what does that mean? What's the drasha? So Chazal looked at that pasuk and said, it has to mean something important. What's the diuk that Chazal are making? What's the diuk in the pasuk? V'kidashtem eish nasa chamishim shana. Yehuda? The Kedusha has to be chal on the entire 50th year. It can't possibly start 10 days in, or 20 days in, or 35 days in. Milamed shemis kadeshes yeholachas mitchilasa. Leave, are we talking about Dindar Rabbanon or Dindar Raisa? Obviously it's at the Dindar Raisa. To clear drasha from a pasuk. V'kidashtem eish nasa chamishim shana. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osha ben Yochanan ben Broka asserting a din d'oraisa that kedushas yovel, like kedushas shviyas, begins mechad mitishrei. But then we have the dilemma of bevarta shovertua b'chodesh hashviy be'asor lachodesh b'yom haKippurim. And this conflict once again, Levi, we're talking about a derabanan d'oraisa conflict. It's two psukim. So we may have found exactly what we're looking for. The methodology is the Rav's methodology. The Rav would spend hours in shiur trying to figure out every din derabanan. What's the d'oraisa paradigm? Everything in Torah has to cohere. Everything has to be based on something. And the Torah is the model from which everything expands outwards. So if we're talking about the days, Asar Yamim Shebin Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaKippurim, we better figure out what they mean on a Daraisa level. That's what's at stake. And again, it may not be monolithic. It turns out that it could be Machlokas Rishonim, even Machlokas Tanoim. But let's try to figure it out. Okay, Silan, go ahead. It might be a Das Yachin. Maybe the Chachamim don't agree, but they say Midrash Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim. Mishtab din ladin nehem Elo eichlin v'sheisin usmeichin. So the theory of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is what? He has to give status to Rosh Hashanah, and he has to give a status to Yom HaKippurim. So we know, Bishnas HaYovel HaZos, Tashuvu Yishal HaChuz HaZo. The Avadim are going to go free. There's a Cheros. A Shofar Shal Cheros. So we know, Yishal HaChuz HaZo, Tashuvu. So we know that the Sados are going to go back. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka has an idea. So what's his idea, David? What's his idea? He says, we know that this is what the Yovel triggers.
I think it's that they prepare, that they're celebrating before, at the beginning of the year, and then before Yom Kippur, and then in Yom Kippur they're actually free.
So that's a good question. So the lo hayu avadim niftar levateim lo mishtabden adinehem. So are they free or are they not free? Eitan? Oh. So ben hashmashos, right? So they're not exactly where they were before, because the Adonim can't really work with them, can't have them work, but they also can't do what? Can't go home. So the Shibud HaGof may no longer exist. To use an expression. Right? No, the Adon can't tell him, go chop down that tree. But they're not free to go home. The Stei Achuza, whose bylaws is it under? So you might say that there's title to the Kona, but he doesn't have usage rights. Maybe he has bylaws, but not Rishos. That's going to be a huge topic for us when we get to Chametz. Because it's only once you blow the shofar that the actual title seems to transfer back. So what is this? V'kidashta meishnasa chamishim shana, that it's miskadeshes mitchilasa, is that the process is started. The transition is started at this time. It's a remarkable thing. There's a line in here that jumps out in terms of, they're still called avadim. Lo ayu avadim niftarim levateim. But they can't work. They're avadim who don't work. It's almost like a paradox. Lo mishtabdin ladinehem. Ela ochlin v'shosin usmechin v'atorsen b'roshayin. Ilan, what is the only other time in Chazal that we have that expression? Good. In what context? So yachila, right, in Ochlin v'in Shosin, right, when there's no Tashmish Hamita, there's no Sicha, there's no Nilas HaSandal, Ala Yoshvin v'atrosein v'roshein v'nanin v'ziv HaShchina. Why am I interested in that expression being in only two places in Shas? No doubt. What's the connection? No question about that, but even at a more prosaic level, when Chazal describe what the tzaddikim experience, what's the closest we get to it? Lo ochlin velo shosin, lo mishamshin es mitosehen. What does it sound like? Shemi? Well, that's the sort of the idea. Yeah. Okay, so now you see how the two come together? Danielle, explain it. Gopin, explain, yeah.
That Dr. Seyed Barashahan by here, Yom Kippur, says in Barathos, not to eat.
Then in Olam Haba, they're not eating, they're not drinking, they're not anointing themselves, they're not engaging in intimate relations, they don't have any bodies, they're not wearing any shoes. Rather, Atrosein Beroshehen. It's a fascinating thing. It's like exactly like a Yom Kippur description. But not in terms of Inoy, but in terms of the bliss that's associated with it. Okay, so that's interesting. So the Atrosein Beroshehen. So Rashi, the Ritva, and the Rambam. Okay. Leave, go ahead, Rashi. So what does this mean? You know, they steal the Chazan's kapel? Like, what are these ataros anyway? Lasum. Okay, so Rashi says something interesting. First of all, right? Not that you have to, it's not a chiyuv, but he can. But what's even maybe more fundamental here in Rashi? What does Rashi understand already what happened? Avi? That he's already become a ben chorin. Laharos sheyatza chavshi. Chayav adam laharos es atzmo ki ivuhu ba'atzmo yatza me'avdus b'rosh Hashanah shel shnas hayovel. So that he would say that he's actually already a ben chorin, but with one limitation: he can't go home yet. That appears to be shitas Rashi. What about the ritva? So the Ritva, taking some of the fun away, seems to deny the existence of these ataros altogether. Lav dafka. These crowns may not actually exist. But more importantly, Lomar she'enan mishtad n'klal v'holchen kiderech b'nei chorin. Ilan, what's your thought? It doesn't sound like that. Ironically, it sounds like Rashi thinks that they really are already B'nai Chorin, and the Ritva thinks that they're really not B'nai Chorin. But they're Kederach B'nai Chorin. They have the rights of B'nai Chorin. They have those privileges. So what about Shitas HaRambam? Rami, go ahead. He's still calling them Avadim, which is important. Okay. Now, in terms of this question of when the Chayrus happens, I think the Rambam is Chad Mashmai. What is the sheet of the Rambam? When does the Chayrus actually happen? Yeah.
When they blow the shofar.
Yeah, on Yom Kippur. Kevan shigia Yom HaKippurim, taku based in b'shofar, niftar avadim levatayin v'chazir sadus levalayin. So he links the two halachos. That much is clear. So it could be a machlokas rishonim. Maybe the Ritva is a little closer to the Rambam than Rashi is on that point. Now what about the Atrasein b'roshayin? A lot of the Nosei Kelim try to read the Rambam in light of the other Rishonim. What's the evidence as it exists? Rebaran. What's the evidence that exists? What data do we actually have? Eitan? Right, which means it would be incumbent upon him to say that I don't really believe that these exist, like the Ritva, or that they don't actually have to. The Rambam is not shy about doing that tens of thousands of times in the Yad HaChazaka. So why am I so fixated on these Ataros? So what I'm trying to understand is again, what is their status? Both the Avadim and the Karkaos. And I believe the Rambam is clear that their status is that they are not yet under their own title, the Avadim, or the title of the ancestral owners in the case of Karkaos. And yet there is this external manifestation of the impending transition. What's going to happen b'shas tkiyas ha-shofar. And again, it's a mitzvah tkiya. V'atroseyan b'rosheyem. They're already manifesting an outward sign of that transition. If you would see the Eved at this time, he might yet be an Eved, but you couldn't mistake him for an Eved of 5 or 10 days earlier. before Rosh Hashanah. V'kidash the Mishnah is a 50 shana. Because Levi, you would look at him and what would you see?
You'd see a guy wearing a crown, being a total baller. You'd see that John Rockefeller.
I only understood the first sentence, but I think you're correct. The Atroseyan Biroshayan, there'd be an external manifestation of the idea that there's something very important about to happen. So what we've established, I think, is absolutely critical. That Mida Araisa, evidence exists for the Asara Yamim, admittedly, on a bicentennial basis. But for the Asara Yamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim, to reflect a profound transition. And I don't mean just some theoretical transition. I mean in terms of Hilchos Kinyanim. In terms of Sados, and who's the owner. Certainly the Shitas HaRamam, I believe it's Shitas HaRitva as well. And in terms of Avadim. And there are all kinds of Nafkamina. Linin Kinyanim, Ashikan Evid Kanarabo. All kinds of issues. Okay, so we'll hold it up there in terms of now having established what I believe is the Daraisa paradigm. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll take a look at the famous Rambam and the Ramban very quickly. I know you're largely familiar with it in terms of Tshuva Vidoy and that process. And then we'll try to hammer in Shitas HaRambam at the